I want to turn back to the reading that we had a moment ago in the book of Revelation. Chapter 20 is where you will find the phrase, the sentence that I want to consider this evening. It's found at the end of verse 14, Revelation 20, verse 14, which says, "This is the second death." Quite recently, we have considered in my home church the wonder, the marvel that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning to this world. Something quite thrilling for every believer to understand, to appreciate that the day is going to dawn when the heavens will be rent and we shall hear a trumpet sounding, the voice of an archangel will ring forth, and there will be an appearance that this world has never experienced before, as in his glory and wonder the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And every believer tonight looks forward, I trust, with great anticipation for this grand and glorious day that our tiny mind cannot comprehend what sort of wonder it will be. But we know, as we were mindful this morning, that we're going to see him and we're going to be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And what anticipation there must be within the heart of each one who has come to a knowledge of the gospel, this glorious, this wondrous news that has been made known to us. The one who came and died upon the cross will indeed return to take us unto himself. Having made the statement, "I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The anticipation of living for the whole of eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, never to know a severing of that relationship, never fearing that we may be dismissed from his presence, but to know that once we're in, we'll never be sent back out. But you know, my dear friend, tonight, as we consider the Lord's return and the rich blessing that awaits every believer, it's essential to clearly spell out that not everybody will rejoice at his coming. You see, we're living in a time when there is a serious superstition that is quite commonplace today, that glory is the destination of everyone. We're all going to get there. We're all going to enjoy the splendor, the wonder of our heavenly home. But that's not true. And so it is essential that we spell out the biblical teaching regarding all those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And if you're in that position tonight, then my message is for you. I'm not unduly concerned tonight for those of you who are believers. You'll pardon me and forgive me for that. But my burden tonight is for those who do not know the wonder, the marvel of having been embraced by the Lord Jesus Christ, and know the blessing of having him as Savior and Lord of life. Because you see, consistently through the Bible, There are repeated warnings regarding the plight, the predicament of those who are not saved, of those who are not believers. Back in the book of Daniel, and in the 12th chapter we read, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, burdened by this situation, could say in John chapter 5, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear the voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so John here, as he's granted this vision of eternal issues, is able to testify himself, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them." And we find that as we read this particular passage of the Word of God, we are brought to see this link between what he calls the second death and the lake of fire that he sees. Because in chapter 20 and verse 14, which is my text, he says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." And that's why our blessed Savior again, so lovingly, so caringly, so mercifully, with a burdened heart for those that would listen to him, was able to say in Matthew 10 in verse 28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You see, the lake of fire is presented to us here as the place of suffering for both body and soul. Three lines of thought again this evening, as they were this morning, that I trust and I pray would cause those who are not believers to sit up and to take note. My prayer at this moment that the Spirit may be pleased to open your ears to hear and open your heart to receive and so meet with you at this moment in time that your whole eternity may be changed tonight. That he may be gracious to so deal with you, that he may arrest you in your way, and it may please him to snatch you tonight as a brand from the burning. Because we are presented, you see, with the ultimate state. That's what we find here. You see, this is the climax of God's purposes for the present order of things. This is where he is taking us. This is where every second of every minute of every hour of day is proceeding. It is to that eternal day. In the second letter that Peter wrote, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." Those things that tonight, my dear friend, You may lay great store by. Those things that may be the treasures, the darlings of your heart in this present world is soon to evaporate into the nothingness out of which it was created. And so it is that here in Revelation 19, there is a gradual procedure. In chapter 19, he says, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. These both were cast alive into the lake of which burns with fire and brimstone. And then in chapter 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and of brimstone. And in the same chapter, in the verse that we have, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. There is this progression. This is the ultimate consequence of sin having abounded over the generations. And all that have been enveloped in sin, and all that have been partakers of sin, and all that have indulged and delighted in sin, they come to the final goal. Those awesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ, depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the ultimate goal. That's where time is going. That's where the present order is proceeding. And you see, it's a universal state. Everyone who's not a believer arrives there. Everyone who rejects the gospel will find that this is their destination. Whatever differences, my dear friend, there may exist tonight in this world, and there are multitudes of differences. The one thing that is true, that each one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is heading for a second death, is heading to that lake that burns with fire and in brimstone. You see, we understand this from what John sees here. He sees a book that's opened, and he sees a smaller book. And that book contains the names of those who are Christians. It contains the names of those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And you remember that the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, rejoice that your name is written in that book. Because you see, the solemn consequence of what John sees here is this. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if your name is not written in that book, then that's your end. That's your goal. That's where you're heading. Now in chapter 21, he begins to describe those who are in that category. He says in verse 8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the warmongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me pause a moment. And let me go through each of those individually. Those who are fearful. Those who are afraid to be Christians. Afraid to be Christians for the fear of what it may cost. The loss of your friends. The loss of your pleasure. The loss of your possessions. Fearful that the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, if any man come after me, let him deny self, take up his cross, daily and follow me. And you're unbelieving. Those who do not and those who will not believe. Those who out of a stubborn heart, out of a hardened heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. I don't want to know. I don't really care. The abominable. Those who live lives that are disgraceful and are shameful. Those whose pursuit is continually a pursuit of evil. The murderers, those whose spirit is hateful towards their fellow. And my understanding of the Sermon on the Mount, which our blessed Lord preached to a large company, leads me to understand that those who are angry and those who are bitter are as guilty as those who pull the trigger or stab with a knife. You go back and you read it. The warmongers, those whose moral life is defiled before a holy God. And again, in that same sermon, the Lord Jesus says that lust is as evil as adultery. The sorcerers, those who delve in the world of familiar spirits, those who are part of the occult, who delve into witchcraft, into tarot cards, the reading of stars, tea leaves, and Ouija board. The idolaters, those whose lives are dominated by the affections that are centered upon things or upon persons other than upon God. And the liars, those whose lives are dishonest, and are dominated by untruth, who fail to be honorable and truthful in all their ways. They shall all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My dear friend, tonight, whatever your sin is, or whatever your sins are, you'll be found out. You'll be found out. You may go on with an air of unbelief tonight. You may wander this world pleasurably, enjoying yourselves. But be sure, your sin will find you out. There's one final and perhaps awesome reality that comes out of this contemplation. This is an unchanging state. And an unchangeable state. We're told in verse 10 of chapter 20, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. My mind doesn't fully grapple what an eternal state is like. And therefore I am grateful that God in his mercy has pitied me and has indeed caused me to understand this unchanging state in a way that I can take in. You see, what he's saying is this. those who are the candidates for the second death must realize this is eternal death. This is eternal sorrow. This is eternal crying. This is eternal pain. They are subjected constantly to the wrath of God. Earlier on in chapter 14, the apostle says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of their indignation." Their torment is fire and brimstone. And the torment is endless, relentless torture, described so vividly in chapter 14 and in verse 11, it says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night." My dear unbelieving friend, it is an awesome prospect that you face. It's a terrifying consequence that is before you. To go out into indescribable agony. To go out into a state where there is no relief. Where there are no painkillers. There are no injections to ease your suffering. Day in, day out. Week in, week out, year in, year out, for all eternity. And no door marked exit. Because once you're in, you're not going to come out. But thank God there's hope tonight. Thank God I've got good news for you. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Tonight, my dear friend, your eternity can change because Jesus has come with love, with mercy, with pity for your soul. Those endless ages of going into a place where you will weep and you will wail and you will gnash your teeth doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he meets John in Revelation chapter 1, says to him, "I have the keys of death and of hell." Someone tonight who can set you free from this awesome prospect. Someone who has come to make a way for you from the gate of hell to the door of heaven. And Jesus is his name. In Revelation chapter 2, we have a letter to a church at Smyrna. And Jesus says to the church, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt in a second death." Or again, in chapter 20, "Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power." My dear friend, tonight, in order that you may escape these awesome prospects, the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. and been raised again. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price that you deserve to pay. Those agonizing hours in eternity have indeed been placed upon him on that cross. He has been wounded for your transgressions. He has been bruised for your iniquities. And having died, God has been pleased to raise him again. And for those that have a part in the first resurrection, the power of the second death has no part to play in your life. What a wonderful story is told in the gospel. That God is pleased to save hell-deserving sinners like you, like me. Instead of the prospect of going down into that horrible pit, there's that glorious prospect that we're told of here in Revelation 21. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. The former things are passed away. And you know, my dear friend, I don't even ask you to take my word for it tonight. Because when God was speaking to John, he said, write these words down, because they are true and they are faithful. My friend, tonight, God has given us a Bible. And in that Bible, he has made a record of his love for you. A love that is immense. A love that is beyond comprehension. A love that says, I want you to forsake your sin, to believe on my Son, to come and live with me in heaven. And so here are the two prospects. One is too horrible to comprehend. The other is too wonderful to take in the present state. But they're offered to you. Which way will you go tonight? Where will you spend your eternity? Is it in this second death? A resurrected body that will be racked with pain for all eternity? Or a resurrected body united to a saved soul to enjoy heaven forevermore? Oh, that God may grant you sense tonight. Oh, that God may be pleased in love and in mercy to draw near to you, that you'll forsake your sin and your sinful way, and you'll say, I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in your blood that flowed from Calvary for his sake. Amen.